Few announcements. You can follow along in the bulletin. I'm just going to kind of point them out. The first one's not listed, but the movie God's Not Dead has been returned, and it's on the table in the back with a sign-up sheet, and you can take it home and watch it. It's a very good movie. Keep it for a week or two. Bring it back so someone else can borrow it. The Cookies annual cookie walk and craft show will be held December 13th. You can talk to Claire or Linda about it if you'd like to make some cookies. We need a lot of cookies, and people really enjoy that in the community, coming down and getting those. Advent lighting of candle, I think we still have some openings. You can talk to Arlie or sign up as a sheet on the back table. Christian Education Christmas Party will be Sunday, December the 21st, immediately following worship, and you can bring a side dish, a vegetable, or salad. Ham, rolls, and dessert will be provided, and so it's always a nice time for the church. Sign-up sheet for the Christmas poinsettias is on the table in the back. Scripture readers are still needed. You can sign up, and teachers are needed for junior church. And this time you can take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down and have a record of your attendance. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn this morning, all from our hymnal today, The Advent of Our God, number 120.
Thank you.
Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Advent. We worship you today because you love us. Forgive us when we do not take your words to heart. Give us a desire for true repentance. Help us spread the message of the gospel. Remind us that our community is full of people who do not worship you. Remind us that we are your messengers of the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
This Sunday morning, once again, recite our traditional Apostles' Creed with a sense of unity. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, ask. Get to know them.
The love of Christ as we act. and the grace of Christ as we speak.
Today we light two candles. The first candle illuminates patience in the area of our lives where God has called us to wait. The second candle extends the promise of strength to all who feel weary and weak in the shadows of this world. As we continue our Advent journey, may our hope be kindled as the light grows brighter. God of mercy and compassion, Scripture says that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. In a shadowy world where human weakness and weariness reside, we ask for you to draw near and dispel the darkness around us. May the light of this season illuminate our hope, strength, and steadfast endurance as we await the coming Savior. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
A responsive reading in the back of your hymnals, Christ's Incarnation, 635. In your hymnals, 635. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was in the beginning with God.
All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John.
He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him.
He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light.
The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world knew him not.
He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. who are born not of flesh, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son of God.
This time I called Elder on the door to present the prayer and praise requests.
Good morning. This morning, Kathy Henrietto is asking for prayer for her friend Ruth Deer. Ruth found there was a tumor found during Ruth's colonoscopy, and she's been going through tests, and they're not sure how they're going to treat that. So please be in prayer for Ruth. Also, a prayer of remembrance as we look back on this Pearl Harbor Day. Thanks for those who fought then and continue to fight to preserve this nation and for the freedoms that we enjoy.
From email, some of you knew that Mark Teggy was in the hospital for a full knee replacement. He's going home this morning, and so they want to thank the congregation for the prayers and praise for successful surgery. And as he goes home and he goes to his physical therapy, prayer for him and the family. I want to thank you for your prayers for myself. If I have undergone the two eye surgeries that weren't so well last year and lens replacement, I'm seeing so much better. I am so thankful. I believe I'm going to be able to drive at night. All the pictures that I had drawn for them, showing them what I was going through. I'm just so much happier. So I thank you for your prayers, but it's going to take my eyes a while to adjust. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this second Sunday in Advent. As we talk about John the Baptist being a messenger of God, remind us this day that we also are messengers. We are to spread the good news in a very relational way, with love and with respect for people's beliefs, not arguing with them, but just telling them what Christ has done for us and what he can do for them also. We pray for our church this day, for growth, for that you would guide us spiritually, and that our growth is not just in numbers, but is in our lives, our spiritual lives. Begin to understand the scriptures and your desire for our individual lives as well as the life of our church. We lift these names to you that have been mentioned this morning, the different situations. So many have not been name this morning, that everyone, I'm certain, has a silent prayer. And with those listed in the bulletin and the Valley newsletter, we come into agreement, believing that you not only hear our prayers, but you answer them according to your wisdom, your grace, your mercy, and your love. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, I normally have a screen song here, but number 112, Jesus, name above all names.
Thank you.
bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your love, for sending Jesus into the world that we might be forgiven of our sins and have the promise of eternal life, and even a better life here on earth, served with you and in fellowship with one another. We thank you for all the gifts that you have given to us. And I thank you as pastor for each person that uses their gifts for your glory, whether it's giving of money, singing, sending out cards, giving rides, praying for the church, making cookies. Everything that we do, may it be for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Amen.
While Bill is coming up to read the scripture, I just noticed that there's not an announcement in the bulletin about the angel tree. You see the tree at the back. There are children's names on it, and you can take one, but make sure you speak with a deacon, and they will run you through the program, and then we won't... next Sunday will be the last Sunday to be able to take one. Then the gifts have to be in by the 21st. But a lot of children will not really have a Christmas if without these types of programs. So please be in prayer about it.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley, as well as our guest. In today's scripture, it begins with a quote from Isaiah. It's the same quote that's used in all four of the Gospels to herald and talk about the coming of John the Baptist and his ministry. So please listen with me and find your own personal message as I read Mark 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel hair and a leather belt around his waist, and ate locust and wild honey. This was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. After some last-minute Christmas shopping, a woman was rushing with her two grandchildren to get into the car. And it was that four-year-old son, Jason, said, "Grandmama, Susie has something in her pocket." She then proceeded to reach into Susie's pocket and pulled out a red beret. Though she was tired, the grandmother knew that it was important for Susie to put them back where she had found it, so they went back to the store and did just that. Then they headed to the grocery store. Later in the grocery store, at the checkout line, the clerk asked the kids, "Have you kids been good for Santa?" The little boy said, "Well, I've been good, but my sister just robbed a store." Well, I hope all our boys and girls have been good this Christmas. For that matter, I hope all our adults have been good. You know, most scholars believe that the first gospel to be recorded was the Gospel of Mark. It is thought that Mark was fearful that those who were witnesses to the coming of Christ, or eyewitnesses had seen him and lived with him, would die before anyone prepared a written testimony of Christ's life. So Mark wrote in a hurry, giving us a bare-bones account of Christ's life and death and resurrection. So there are no shepherds in Mark's account. no magi, neither are there any theological reflections as there are in the Gospel of John. However, like John, Mark begins with Jesus' baptism. Mark's gospel begins like this: the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, or the Anointed One, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appears in the wilderness, preaching a gospel or a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of their sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem go out to hear him, some to accept, some just to see what all the fuss is about. Confessing their sins, they're baptized by John in the River Jordan. John was a strange-looking spokesman for God. He wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist and ate wild locust and honey, not dressed like the priests in their fine garments. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So almost immediately, Mark moves to the gist or the meat of the gospel: Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist with the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Our introduction to the coming of Christ in Mark's gospel isn't angels singing in the heavens or a bright star moving towards Bethlehem. Instead, it is John the Baptist out in the wilderness, and John has an announcement to make. John the Baptist was someone with a genuine announcement from God. You know, usually announcements in church are kind of boring. You know, we go through them. I know sometimes people don't listen, and if we really won't listen, we have someone else come up, and then more attention is paid to that other person. You're so used, I think, to hearing me. Sometimes I think, tune out on some of those things. One pastor had to chuckle as he was in the pulpit making the announcements, reading through them as I do before I actually make the announcements. There was an announcement that said, and this is true, all the women who would like to get pregnant, please meet with the pastor in the fellowship hall after worship. That was definitely not a boring announcement if he actually made it. I think he caught it before. But you have to be careful about the announcements that you make, whether in church or out in public. One small college in the Northeast had snow coming down like we do in Pittsburgh, steadily for hours. An announcement came over the college intercom: will the students who are parked on College Drive please move their cars so that plowing may begin? 20 minutes later, there was another announcement. Plowing has been completed. Will the 627 students who went to move the 26 cars please come back to class? Now, John the Baptist is out in the wilderness. He is strangely dressed. He is contending that he has a word from God. And he's not the first one. Prophets before him had words from God. But he has an announcement that the world needs to hear, the most important announcement that has ever been made. This is important for us to see. The Christian faith is not a truth that someone has discovered or an idea that someone has carefully thought out and planned. Christian faith is an announcement. It is a proclamation. It is an act of revelation. As Dr. Paul S. Reese once put it, the gospel is neither a discussion nor a debate. It is an announcement. It is an announcement of God's wondrous love. An angel makes an announcement to Elizabeth and Zechariah that Elizabeth will bear a child even at their advanced age. An angel makes an announcement to Mary and then confirms it to Joseph that she will bear a child and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Later, John the Baptist will make an announcement to the people of Israel. John's announcement is the heart of Advent and Christmas. We love all the preparations for Christmas, lights and music and parties and celebration, the manger scene, and all the other wonderful elements of this time of the year. But none of it means anything without this announcement by John of the coming of the Messiah. On the surface, John's announcement doesn't sound all that dramatic. Basically, all he's saying is the Messiah is someone that is more special than John is. It took more sophisticated theologians to see that this Messiah, this anointed one, was more than just another messenger of God. But God was himself in human form. Jesus would be and was the Word made flesh. Isaiah prophesied of this very thing hundreds of years before. You will bring good news to Zion. Go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. John's announcement was greater than even he could realize. He was introducing to the world the Son of God come in human flesh, in human form. It's like a story that theologian Dale Bruner tells about a six-year-old boy named Gabriel. In January 2009, Gabriel turned 6 years old. And he was so focused at his birthday party with the eating and the birthday cake that he hardly noticed a package over in the corner. And then some of the other children pointed it out. So he went like a child does and began tearing off the paper. And he discovered that it wasn't a bicycle or any other kind of item that a normal six-year-old child would desire at Christmas times. Rather, it was Gabriel's dad, an army specialist home from the war in Iraq. They had not seen each other for 7 months. He had wrapped himself as the ultimate birthday gift for his child. In essence, that's what God did for us that first Christmas. He offered himself as an amazing surprise. He wrapped himself up in human flesh, human form, like we are. The form of a tiny baby. And everything we know about God, we learn from his son, Jesus. He is the Word made flesh. In Christ, we have God's own personal and definitive visit to this planet we call Earth. And even without realizing the full scope of his message, John announced that God himself had come into the world. But there's a second facet to John's announcement. John also announced that another baptism was coming, a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You and I take great comfort in our baptism. To say that we are baptized in the Christian faith is one of the most important things that we can say or can happen to us, that act of baptism. It's a sign that we have joined with God's family. I love the way that one little girl described it. And to understand this, you need to know that out on the cattle ranches of the West, the unbranded cattle that roam at large free are called mavericks. They're claimed by the man who's the first to get his brand on them at the annual rodeo wrap-up that they have yearly. A little Western girl had been baptized one Sunday morning by the local minister. Her schoolmates questioned her the next day as to the meaning of the ceremony, and she said, "Well, I'll just tell you this. I was a little maverick out on the prairie, and this man made a mark on me so that Jesus, when he looks at me, he will know that I am his child." Yes, baptism is something like that. It does mark us as one of God's children. But it is more than that. It is a sign of a new life in Christ. I don't know if you've seen the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, with George Clooney. It came out years ago. There are three escaped convicts who are following a group of people that are dressed in white. They're singing as they pass mysteriously through the woods towards the river. The three doofus criminals follow these group of singers. They come upon a service down by the river where the people are lining up to be baptized by the minister. One of the convicts rushes into the water to be baptized, and then he emerges the water. He exclaims that the minister told them that all his sins had been forgiven, even for the one he went to jail for stealing, that pig. But one of the convicts said, "But you said you were innocent of that." "They always do." He said, "I lied, and that's been washed away too." And we do see a change in this former scoundrel. His friends steal an apple pie, reach up from the windowsill where it's cooling off. But a hand reaches up and leaves some money for the apple pie. It's this convict who has been baptized, and his life is changing. Baptism is more than a ceremony. It is a symbol. Baptism is a renewing of the mind. It is allowing the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, to come into our life and to make us new people. There's a baptism of water, but there's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this happens when we consciously invite Christ into our lives. In the Presbyterian Church, baptized as children, most of us. But you get a chance when you come of age to go through your confirmation class, come up front and make that statement, "I am a Christian. Jesus, I invite you into my life to take over." We often say that at time of year that we wish that the Christmas spirit would stay with us all year long. And this is the secret to maintaining the Christmas spirit, is to take a moment and make sure you've invited Jesus Christ into your life. Receive the greatest gift that anyone can ever receive. Pastor Thomas Hilton once read of the Christmas pageant with a very surprising end, and we know how Christmas pageants go with children so often. A certain church was performing Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, and at the end of the play, the miserly Ebenezer Scrooge is transformed by the meaning of Christmas, which we all should be. And he wants to share his newfound joy with someone, so he calls to a newsboy, "Come up here, boy. I've got something wonderful for you." And out of the audience would come a scruffy newsboy to receive a few coins that he would have never received from Ebenezer Scrooge before. But on this particular night, another little boy in the audience was so entranced by the story and what was happening that he spontaneously rose up from the seat and went up on stage to receive his coins. He thought the imitation was for him. "Come up here, boy. I've got something wonderful for you." It is something wonderful. And we are all invited to receive Christ and the Holy Spirit into our lives. God Himself has come into our world, and He offers us the gift of His Holy Spirit, His presence with us now and through all eternity, to comfort and empower us and help us live the lives that He has called us to live as Christian men and women and boys and girls. John was God's messenger to announce that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one that they had been praying for to come. Now God calls each one of us to be His messenger, to spread the good news to a world that is caught up in darkness, hate, sin, ill will, whatever. To let them know that Jesus is there for them, that Jesus can make their lives better, and they can have the promise of eternal life. So I ask you this morning, will you accept that call to give the good news to people out in our community, to your families, to the people at work, the good news of Jesus Christ in love and respect, with grace and mercy and dignity? May God bless you. Amen. Our hymn of response, 134, Emmanuel.
invite you back to worship next Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, and just remind you about the angel tree, that you'll think about it, and if you're able, that you'll take a child's name and meet with the deacon and bring the presents back. As you prepare to go through this sanctuary, hope that you felt safe and loved and appreciated. As you go back out into the world, I hope that you'll go thinking about the true meaning of Christmas and why we celebrate, and share that message with those you come into contact with. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.